So this morning we're continuing our sermon series on urban legends. And you know, with Facebook and internet, emails, it seems like there's no end to these urban legends. They just go around and they get shared, and people pass them on. I think partly because they find something in that legend that makes them or agrees with something they already believe in, so it's easy to accept it and then you pass it around. But it does make it sort of hard, you know, what do I believe, what don't I believe, what's true, what's fake news, you know, and sometimes it's just overwhelming. It's like, I just don't know anymore. So I got this post on my Facebook a while back. Somebody had posted this. I'll read it to you. Tell me if you can relate to any of this. It goes like this. It says, Dear Facebook friends, thank you this past year for all the information that you have shared on Facebook. Now I'm totally messed up. It goes, I'm afraid to drink water at restaurants if they have lemon slices in them because of all the horrible bacteria that's on lemon slices. I don't lick envelopes anymore because I heard the glue was made with poop. I'm completely unpatriotic because I don't share some post about some veteran, so I must not love America. I'm definitely not a good Christian because I don't share some post about how I love Jesus. I definitely don't boil water on microwaves. I'm afraid it's gonna blow up and melt my face. I don't use deodorant anymore because that's cancer causing. And I don't shop at any businesses that don't display the American flag because they hate America. And now I have to store my toothbrush in the living room because I heard when you flush the commode, the water sprays 6 feet. I'm afraid to shake hands with people. I don't know which companies are satanic and which ones aren't. I don't know what food I can eat. I'm afraid to leave my house. Thank you. Can you relate to some of those things that go flying around? Probably some of you have kind of shared them and then think, I probably should have checked into that one. I mean, they're just crazy things that go around, and I don't know what's true. I don't know what's not true. Well, it's sort of like that with Christianity. There are things people say, and there are things people believe, which are completely not true, but they just get repeated over and over and over. We've covered some of them so far. We talked about how the urban legend that there are many ways to God. There aren't many ways to God. There's one way. We talked about the urban legend that says the Bible's full of mistakes. It is not full of mistakes. Clearly it is not. Talked about how the urban legend that all sins are the same. They're not. So this morning I want to take another urban legend, just talk about it. It's really, hopefully can be helpful to you. It's the urban legend that says to forgive is to forget. I'm sure you heard that. Maybe some of you have even said that. But it's not true. And because of the confusion about forgiveness, I think Christians, especially Christians, really struggle with dealing with offenses. We don't know how to exactly deal with it. And because there's so much confusion, sometimes we carry anger and bitterness for years in our lives because we're confused. So I'm hoping today I can clear some of that up. But let's just start out with like a question or comment. What if I just say to you, I want you to forget something, and I tell you this story, and I say, I want you to forget it now, right now, forget it. Just forget it. What are your chances of just forgetting it right now? Probably the more I say forget it, what's going to happen? You're going to remember it. Yeah, we don't have that, like, that ability to just turn it off. Like, I'll just forget it. It's sort of like a story I read of this lady. She was reminded of a really a vicious crime that was committed against her years earlier, and she said she didn't remember it. And the guy talking to her said, you don't remember that crime? And she said, no, I distinctly remember the day I forgot it. I distinctly remember the day I forgot it. There's something not clicking there. For instance, there's different ways we can forget. There's accidental forgetting, like, I forgot to turn the car off when I came home, left it running. Or I forgot to pick up that milk. My wife said to pick up the milk and eggs. I forgot. I forgot my umbrella. I forgot my homework. I forgot my lunch. That's accidental forgetfulness, and that's not good. That's not something you should be proud of. It's usually a sign of poor memory. Some people say it's old age. I don't know, you know. But that's accidental. But there's another kind of forgetfulness, which is like intentional forgetfulness. Like some wives say their husbands have a gift of selective memory. You know, you remember what you want to remember. You know, it's not like you forgot it. It would be sort of like this: if I loaned you a couple bucks and I said, "Hey, just forget it." It just means it's still there, but it just means you're not remembering it all the time. That's like intentional forgetfulness. And I think this is really what we're dealing with when we're talking about forgiveness. And I want to read a passage that's in 1 Corinthians. It's in chapter 13, and it's a famous chapter on love. And in this chapter, he's talking about characteristics of walking in love. And you get down to verse 4, it says, "Love suffers long, love is kind, love doesn't envy, love does not parade itself, is not puffed up." And then it says, "Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own glory, is not provoked, and thinks no evil." Love thinks no evil. So now, this is kind of interesting. Love thinks no evil. So the NIV says it doesn't keep score. The message says don't keep score. NIV doesn't keep a record. What this is talking about is thinks no evil means we are able to control our thoughts. We're able to control our thoughts, and we can choose what we remember and what we don't remember. We have that ability. That's not saying it's gone. It's just saying we can choose what we decide to remember. It's up to us, and what he's saying here is it's evil if you keep bringing it up. So we can choose not to remember something. And one of the advantages, if we will choose to not remember an offense, what happens with that memory is it no longer is in our conscious mind. It'll get buried into what we call the subconscious. It's still there. It's a permanent record. Everything that happens to us is etched in our minds. We don't have the ability to delete it. We don't have the ability to erase it. We can't really completely forget it on purpose, but if we don't keep bringing it up, if we choose not to remember it, it'll get buried into our subconscious. And the benefit of that is that it's not bothering us. It's important, though, when we choose to not remember it, we have to make sure that as that memory slips into the subconscious, that it's not infected with anger and bitterness. The forgiveness is canceling the debt. I'm no longer angry with you. I'm no longer upset with you. And as long as I can allow that anger to subside and allow God to heal me of the anger, then I don't bring it up, it'll pass into my subconscious. Now, just because I remember something, it doesn't mean I haven't forgiven a person. If I don't bring it up, but you bring it up, or a situation happens that's similar, it's that memory is going to come up. It's there. It's not like I erased it. It's there. Here's the question. How do I know I really have forgiven that person? Well, when the memory comes up, how do I react? Am I angry? Am I full of bitterness? Am I all upset? Am I emotionally drained? Well, then probably that's a good idea. That's a good a red flag that I haven't forgiven that person. The thing about thinking no evil and not bringing up and keeping score of some offense is that when it passes into the subconscious, it is no longer going to affect our behavior. The problem with human behavior, it's so complicated because of memories that we bury into our subconscious that are infected with all kinds of unforgiveness. When we stop thinking about something but we haven't forgiven the person, it gets buried. And then we react differently to people and we don't understand why that is, because we haven't dealt with this forgiveness issue. We need to release some of the anger and say, I'm no longer angry with you. I'm not going to hold bitterness against you, and I'm not going to keep bringing it up. I'm going to let it pass into the subconscious. And when it comes up again, I'm not going to be angry. Now there's another piece to this, and that is another piece to this legend, and that is, if you really have forgiven me, then you shouldn't punish me. If you really have forgiven a person, you shouldn't punish them. And this gets a lot of traction with dealing with people, holding them accountable. But listen, now the Bible is clear on this, that you can punish somebody whom you have forgiven. Punishing a person does not mean you haven't forgiven them. There are at least three stories in the Bible, three passages, where it says, like in the book of Hebrews, it says God forgave, yet he chastens. He punishes. He forgives whom he loves, he chastens. But it's talking about he forgave. There's one in Psalms, whom he forgave, He chastened. The passage there says, you are a God who forgives, yet you punish men for their deeds. Well, we can't question whether God forgives. He says he forgives, but he still punishes. And then there's a great story in the Old Testament, in the book of Samuel, where David, who was the king of Israel, committed a real grievous offense. And then when he was confronted by the prophet because of his sin, David said, I have sinned. And then the prophet said, God has forgiven you. And then he said, but you're going to be punished. And because of David's offense, he suffered immensely, all kinds of problems. So the thing about forgiveness is you can forgive, but it doesn't do away with the consequences. So for instance, I can forgive a person who stole from me, but I still don't have to trust them. That doesn't mean I don't forgive them. You don't have to trust somebody who's a drug addict and say, well, if I forgave them, I have to trust them and allow them to continue doing this. Or someone who's committing immoral acts. You don't have to trust them. They have to earn their trust once they've broken it. So here's the thing. Forgiveness does not void other biblical principles. There is a biblical principle that says, whatever a man sows, that he shall reap. So if a man breaks a trust factor, he reaps the lack of trust. And so holding people accountable is not a sign of unforgiveness. Now the key here is, if you're holding people accountable or you're punishing them because of some bad behavior, we have to make sure our hearts are truly clean, that we don't carry unforgiveness, bitterness, anger towards them. We're not seeking revenge. We're not trying to get even. That is a sign of unforgiveness. But holding a person accountable who's done you wrong is fine. God does that. It doesn't mean you haven't forgiven. Now, you know, just a side note here, a lot of times this shows up with raising children. Like, you'll have a child who did something wrong, and they know they're going to get spanked, and so right away, I'm sorry, and you're holding the spanking stick. I mean, I had this many times with my kids when they were little. It's like, oh man, what do I do now? Kid's sorry, but he's really only sorry because he doesn't want to get spanked. You know, so this is the place where I think a lot of times it helps to have your relationship with God and to ask God, what's going on here? And I remember God distinctly telling me, it's okay to spank your kid even though they're sorry. So I would say to my kids, you know what? I'm really glad you're sorry. Because you're sorry, your whooping's not going to be so bad. But if you weren't sorry, you really, really get it. But it doesn't mean I haven't forgiven them to go ahead and spank them. It's all right. And then I had other situations with my kids, like if they were had done something wrong, and, you know, like for instance, they were playing in an area where they weren't supposed to be playing, and they broke something. They broke mom's lamp or something like that. And then I know they broke it, and so then I get them and sit them down, did you break mom's lamp? And they're like, not saying nothing, you know. I mean, how many times have you said this as a parent? Now tell the truth. Well, you already know the truth. You know they broke it. You're just trying to get them to tell the truth. And then you say, if you tell the truth, you won't get spanked. Wrong. That's not a good principle. My comment was, listen, you're going to get whooped for breaking the lamp. I know you did it. Now, if you fess up, your spanking or your punishment won't be as bad. But if you don't fess up, it's going to cost you even more. So this urban legend that says, you know, first of all, forgive and forget, is clearly not true. You don't have that ability to forget. You don't have, you know, here's the interesting thing. Only God has the ability to truly forget. When he says, I will remember your sins no more, he actually, that's what I believe. I believe he actually has a way of deleting that memory from his memory bank. It's gone. It's not recorded that he could bring back up. It is gone. But for us, if you do, whatever happens to me, it gets recorded in my memory. My job is to get it to move from my conscious, where I'm constantly bringing it up, and just let it slowly move into the subconscious, where it's buried, and make sure that it's not infected with all kinds of unforgiveness, bitterness, and resentment. And the true test of whether you have forgiven somebody or not is not whether you have the memory ever come back up, because I promise you, it will come back up if something similar happens. If somebody mentions it or you see something, that memory will come up. The test is not whether it ever comes up. The test is, how do you react when it comes up? If it comes up, you go, man, that reminds me, but I'm not all emotionally upset. I've released that emotional debt. And then this whole idea that forgiveness means you cannot punish is completely unbiblical. It's completely unbiblical. God forgives and punishes. It doesn't mean you have to punish. You have the choice not to, but just because you say, I forgive you, doesn't mean that it voids the other biblical principles, such as you reap what you sow, or void the idea of consequences. So, today's lesson, forgive and forget, but choose to forget. All right? You choose to forget. So let's stand up. Well, God, we thank you that, I just want to thank you, God, that you forget our sins when we repent. That is just challenging, God, that we want to be like you, but God, we don't have that ability to erase our memory, but we can choose what we want to remember. We can control our thoughts, God. God, and I pray that you teach us about forgiveness. Teach us to not bring up situations that have been offensive, to allow them to pass into the subconscious in a way that they're not infected with anger and bitterness, God. And I pray you teach us this, just an understanding of consequences with forgiveness, God, that there is a place to hold people accountable and still forgive, God. Just want to take a moment here. I know there are some of us here today that have been hurt by people, and I believe there's some people here this morning that have struggled with this idea: if I forgive them, do I have to allow them to continue doing this thing, this bad behavior? And I'm here to tell you this morning, no, you don't. No, you don't. But I pray this morning, Father, that you would help individuals here this morning release the anger, God, and just put that in your hands, God, that they can be emotionally cleansed, so that as this memory subsides and gets buried in the subconscious, it's not infected, God, that they could go on with their lives, God, and they can hold people accountable, that they behave correctly, God. Again, Father, we thank you that you forgive us, God. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's have our offering. Have our ushers come up for our offering. Just a couple things I just sense in my spirit. Just talking about forgiveness here this morning. I think probably the number one reason for marriage struggles probably has its root in unforgiveness. Hurts that we just never seem to get over. I just feel compelled this morning to pray for married couples here this morning, just that we would forgive our spouse. Maybe it's a big thing, maybe it's a little thing, but that we wouldn't let that fester like an infection here this morning. So if you're married, just raise your hand right now this morning. I just want to pray for our married couples. I want to pray for just a clean slate of forgiveness toward one another. So Father, in the name of Jesus, for every married couple here right now, Lord, I'm asking, God, that if there's still some unforgiveness there, something they haven't cleared, God, today, I pray right now, today, God, they can let go of that unforgiveness. They can let go of the anger, God. They can stop bringing it up. God, that it would begin to move into the forgetful part, subconscious. God, that there would be a clean slate in marriages this morning. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Holy Spirit of God, right now. Some of you got some bigger issues than others. I just sense it this morning. I'm just praying right now. Let it go in Jesus' name, right now. In Jesus' name. Another thought I had is it's sort of like this. You can't give away what you don't have. So we're talking about forgiveness here, but part of it is you have to receive it. You have to receive it. It starts with our relationship with God, that I can receive God's forgiveness, but also it's my relationships with people that I I don't listen to the devil as he beats me down and constantly throws up my mistakes that I've asked God to forgive me of, or I've asked somebody else to forgive me of. And so maybe there's some of you here this morning just struggling with the receiving part. Just been beat up. Maybe you've been let down, or you let somebody down, and it just lingers there. And I just want to pray for you this morning that you would just open your hearts to receive the love of God, that forgiveness that's offered, that you would accept it, and that would allow you to move on. So am I talking to anybody here this morning about that? Anybody struggling with just receiving forgiveness from God, or just situations in your life? Anybody, just hold your hand up. I want to pray for you right here, all the way in the back there. Just hold your hand up all the way over here. Yeah, come on. Come on, this morning I'm going to pray for you that you receive the forgiveness. Sister, right here, just right here. Hold your hand up. I just believe the Holy Spirit of God is going to change you today, that you would receive the forgiveness, and that it's going to flow out of you so that you can give it. You can't give what you don't have. So hold up both hands right now in the name of Jesus. I pray for this sister right now, Father. All the way over here, the hand that was up here I saw. Over here there was a hand all the way back. Yeah, right back there there's a hand. Right up here in the name of Jesus right now, Father, by your Holy Spirit, shine your light, God. Receive forgiveness right now. Receive forgiveness. Be forgiven. Jesus said, whosoever sins we remit, we forgive, they're forgiven. We release you in Jesus. Be forgiven. Devil, no longer will your lies have hold. In Jesus' name. Receive it, Pam. Receive it right now. Receive it. Say, I receive your forgiveness, Father. Say, I receive your forgiveness. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Sister, I just sense the Holy Spirit on this sister right here. God's changing you this morning. In the name of Jesus, just receive it. Just receive it. So we're going to close with a song here. If you want to come up and just worship the Lord or just do some business with God, we invite you to come forward. And we'll finish up with the song.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears have gone, and I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again to your family. Your blood flows through my veins, and I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child.